Today, we have the greatest pleasure of welcoming an extraordinary guest to our podcast, Jody Lynn Pavlock. Jody is a resilient and passionate author who has bravely turned her own personal experience, her own personal pain, into a powerful message of hope and healing. She's the author of the inspirational biography, Jellica Can't Hide, and where she courageously shares her journey through the trials of narcissistic abuse, self-discovery, and empowerment. A dynamic storyteller, mental health advocate, and a former top musician, Jody's life of experiences has shaped her into a beacon of strength for others. Her mission is to help people recognize toxic patterns, build self-love, and reclaim their lives after adversity. Today, she shares her profound insights, hard-earned wisdom, and the story that inspired her latest book. Welcome, Judy.
Thank
Jody.
you. Thanks for having me.
I wanted to ask you now, when I mentioned the title of your book, did I pronounce it the right way? I just want to make sure for the listeners that I pronounced
It's Jekyll Can't Hyde, like Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde. Yes.
it right. Gotcha. All
Yeah,
right. So I
no
was saying,
worries.
I just wanted to make sure.
That's
Okay.
okay.
So to smoothly transition into what the story you're about to tell us, I know that your book, Jekyll Can't Hide, is deeply personal and it's incredibly inspiring as it stems from your own personal lived experiences. Can you share what ex inspired you to write this book and how it felt to revisit such a painful, transformational moments in your life? Because I know that it's really hard sometimes. Therapy is really, writing is like therapy, and it really can bring up a lot of repressed emotions for you. Can you share, what the what brought you to actually to write it, and then also, how it ha how you know what it did to you as you were writing the book?
Absolutely, yes. When I left my ex technically two times without, giving away too much of the plot, I was going through it, as they say, the emotions, and I kept watching like TikTok videos just about narcissists and what they do, and when you leave them, what to expect, because I just wanted to be educated on it more, what I was going through. And I just came across videos that kept saying, why don't you write about it, journal it? And I'd always read things about spirituality, 1111 and stuff. And then I came across a video that said, I wrote a book on my life experience. And I said, geez, my story would be a good book. And once I make a decision to do something, phew, that's it. So I left my ex last June, and last August I made a decision to write the book, and it only took me a month. It was very therapeutic to write. It just poured out of me. And I promised myself to have it out by the holidays, which I did in December a couple of months ago. And I'm just very happy with the finished product, especially since, I mean, honestly, when I was in school, I'm not a school person. I was there for like, music when I was doing the trumpet and singing and that. I've never really written before, but it's kind of like a blank because I just went in the portal and it just pa 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 just came out. And I go back and read it sometimes, and obviously I lived it. It's all true, but just to actually have the book in the hands and read it, it's just, you can't describe it in words. But when I did decide to write the book, it was, like I said, partly because therapeutic, getting it out, getting the emotions out of me that, of course I talked to with friends and stuff, but putting it into words is different. And on top of it, I was realizing everything I was watching, like on TikTok and stuff, narcissism is becoming like a bigger epidemic now. And it's still not fully understood, but it's getting into the realm where it's being talked about a little more often. And I said, you know what? I said, I want to help other people in this situation because my story was just so crazy. It's like a Lifetime movie. And I said, I want other people to resonate, who are in similar situations, that it could happen to anybody, any age group. You could be with them 1 year, 10 years. This is, I know it's not normal, but when you're in a narcissistic relationship, you feel isolated a lot. You feel alone. Sometimes you feel like it's you, or are you going crazy? What did you do wrong? They make you feel so many emotions that you shouldn't, because it's them. They're the problem, not you. And I just wanted to help other people get out of those situations. And I have helped a couple of people, people that I've known, people that don't know me. They write to me a lot on social media that, I help them get out of there, abusive relationship. And if I can help one person just leave and better their life, I mean, that makes me so happy, because I know I was in a very, very deep, dark place. Not that I wanted to admit it back then, but as much as I loved him, I was not happy because I was being browbeat every day and put down and, everything else on top of it. And I just was not happy. And I needed to leave, and I needed that one last final thing to happen to
Yeah.
me for me to leave finally and go no contact.
Do you think that the book helped you release a lot of toxic emotions?
It did, because I'm not really like an angry person or somebody who has like a roller coaster of emotions. But when you write it and then you read it back, you're like, wow, like I remember that. But then you go back to the moment, and it does help release. And on top of it, when I was writing it, I already had like one therapist I was talking to once a week for years, but then I seeked out a narcissistic abuse specialist therapist, a tongue tire there. And she just helped me see a lot of things, like bring to light that just would make sense, like that big word, trauma bonding, love bombing,
Yeah.
gaslighting, future faking is a big one. And
Right.
it's just things, we would talk about, and then I'd watch videos and I'm like, oh my God, like that's what that was about. That's what he was doing. And
Yeah.
when you're in an abusive relationship, the most important thing to me is having a unit, which thank God I do. Have great friends, a great best friend, family, my therapist. And you need, even though you know the logic and you know you're
Yeah.
not at fault and you're shown the evidence and watching videos, you need validation. Just like, when I talk to my best friend Peggy, I mean, not all the time now because it's been like a year, but if I'm having a bad day or just reminiscing about something he did, I know the truth and she listens to me and she validates what happened. Like say an incident, when they were there and they saw him abusing me. I know they were there, but it's more soothing to me, like when I need to talk about it, that they validate it, because then I know I'm really not crazy, if that makes sense.
Oh, it makes
Because
sense. Yeah.
you lived it. And what they do is, these narcissists, is they gaslight you and they brainwash you into thinking that you're the problem and that they're not cheating and they're not doing this and that. And then you actually, you kind of love them so much and you want to believe in the potential that they unfortunately don't have. And you kind of brainwash yourself. So when you leave, it's undoing their brainwashing,
Yeah.
undoing your own brainwashing, and then taking away any self-blame, which I have to say, that's one thing I really didn't have. I'm not saying I'm perfect. Nobody is. I mean, everybody could work on their own personal things, but I knew I could not love him anymore. I could not do any more for him. If in matter of fact, the more I did for him, the more he abused me, the more he cheated, the more he lied, whatever the case was. So I just want to show the readers and people in similar situations, listen, it doesn't matter if you make $100,000 more a year. It doesn't matter if you make 10 more meals a week for them. It doesn't matter you're at their beck and call. They think you're their slave. They think they own you, and they think you're beneath them. And you, nobody need, deserves to be in that kind of relationship.
Not at all. Now, do you think between the therapy and the book, writing the book and having the support groups and having your friends that to support you, do you think that you've been able to get to the point where you can, if you see a toxic relationship, you won't fall back into it? Because so many people get out of a toxic relationship and then they find an other person with the same traits and they fall. It's a cycle, like an endless cycle.
It is a cycle. That is true. Yeah, now I do. Yes, because I would say I'm in my utmost healing era now. I mean,
Yeah.
there's still always room for improvement, but the biggest thing I have to say is the intuition. You always have to listen to your intuition. I knew in the beginning, because in the book, again, not to give away too much, I was married to my ex-husband who was a narcissist, but he was more of a classic narcissist, but he has a little bit of empathy. So he's a little bit of a different one.
Yeah.
And I jumped from that relationship, not looking for one, into the one with my ex-fiance. And I knew in the beginning of him, from years ago, that he had a little bit of narcissistic traits, but me being an empath and a people pleaser and a fixer. And I'm like, oh, he was just wild and crazy back in the day. Or, he likes attention from people. He's not a bad guy. He's a goofball. He's misunderstood. We tell ourselves all these things to
Yeah.
justify the red flags, even if they're little baby red flags that are there. And I'm not saying you have to go through life like people do, one little red flag, poof, that's it. You ghost them and go out. No, but if your intuition, your gut is ringing, something's off. This is not right. There's a reason why this person was single, or there's a reason why this person can't have a girlfriend for more than 6 months at a time. There's a reason for most of that. And
Yeah.
your intuition will tell you it is always smack on right.
It is so true. Your intuition and your gut feeling, they say we have three brains, and it's our gut, our intuition, and our brain. Basically the heart. Our intuition comes from our heart. And if we listen to those, we'll never be led wrong. We really have to, our body, our intuition, our spirituality, it's always guiding us. We just have to stop and listen to our body and listen to the signs, what it's trying to tell us. Now, in your book, you write about the struggles of dealing with narcissists. How
Yes.
did you first start to recognize the signs of narcissistic abuse?
Okay, well, with my ex was a little different because most narcissists take about, from what I've read, about 3 to 6 months for the mask to drop. In his instance, it was a little different. He's a covert narcissist. He really put on a good show, we'll say. It was
Yeah.
about 3 years in. That's when it started to drop a little bit. There was one incident, I think it was chapter 8, when I went to do a photo shoot in Miami and he didn't come with me. He didn't bring his phone. He went and he got drunk and he, would scream, yelled at me, let's go in the car. We drove back to the casino. Well, he drove drunk, driving 100 miles an hour, yelling and screaming, punching the ceiling, going absolutely crazy. My breath was taken away because I had never seen him act like that before. And I'm like, whoa. And he's flipping out. This isn't all about you. And called me all different kinds of names I cannot speak of. It's in the book with the stars.
Yeah.
And it was just horrendous. And I had a full-on panic attack, screaming, crying. I said, stop, what is wrong with you? I said, you're going to get us killed driving like this. And
Right.
that was like the first time. Yes, I should have left then, but I was trauma bonded. I loved him too much then. Like we were speaking of earlier, a lot of people sometimes will judge and say, well, why didn't you leave him the first time? Because
Yeah.
I didn't think that was the real him. That was the first time I've seen him act unhinged, is the best way to say, in 3 years. So again, when you're empathetic and somebody and you have no problems, you're like, you don't want to just throw in the towel. I'm done. I'm not a quitter. I never
Yeah.
have and I never will be. But the one thing I did quit on in life was him because I knew it was going to be the death of me. I'm not going to lie. It's
Yeah.
something bad was going to happen because this guy hated me so much. Because underlying, I guess he was jealous of me, wanted to be me. I
Yeah.
don't know. But all I did was love him and take care of him, and he just hated me for it. But I
Yeah.
really think because the underlying issue is because narcissists hate themselves on the inside, and they probably think, from what I've talked about with my therapist, that they're not worthy of love. Like, I must be duping them because they're not worthy of it. Like, what do you love about me? But again, when you meet them, you're in love with a fictional person. It's a figment of your imagination. And that's what they show you, and that they don't understand that they're putting on a show, and that's what you fell in love with. And then when the real person shows and you still stick around, they can't comprehend it. And I'll be honest, it's hard for the abuse victim to comprehend it because you don't know where this person came from and where it came out of. I mean, every relationship has fights and arguments, and sometimes people go to bed and they're angry, but not like this. People don't get, blasted drunk at 2 o'clock in the afternoon and drive 100 miles an hour for 45 minutes, putting people at harm's way. That's not normal. You don't do that.
No.
That was like the first part. And there was another time down in Atlantic City, that was chapter 15, the Great Chair Incident. I went down with Peggy and her husband, Vic. And long story short, he was supposed to come to dinner with us. He didn't want to walk away from the slot table, called me every name in the book, get out of here, blah, blah, blah. He never showed up to dinner. He left his phone in the room. And then he started calling me 4 hours later from a different number, a New York number. He kept calling me, calling me, calling me. And he said, "You didn't have a chair for me at the dinner table," just going crazy over a chair, a
Yeah.
chair. And he never showed up. Maybe he walked past the restaurant. I don't know. And that was a big blowout fight. He left me and my mother in Atlantic City that weekend. So my best friend and her husband took us home. I thought that was really classy of him. And the third time was catching him first in the emotional affair, and then it was catching the actual affair. And I said, "Okay, we're done now. We're not playing this game anymore." So
Exactly.
there's a lot of highs and a lot of lows. So
It's definitely there's a lot of highs and lows in
yes.
narcissistic relationships. Now, healing from a toxic or abusive relationship is not a small feat by no means.
No.
It's really very difficult. What were some of the first steps you took towards healing and self-discovery?
The first thing was the second time when I left him for good was no contact. That is to me, that is the utmost importance, because you have to grieve not only the relationship, you have to grieve the person that actually did not exist. So you have to give yourself space. You have to basically pretend they're dead, because to me, that's the only way you could really move on, because there's so much hurt and emotions involved in it. And then on top of it, it's like, how can they do this to me? So that was the first step, no contact, staying, into therapy. My regular therapist, the narcissistic abuse therapist, is twice a week talking about it. When you have to cry, you cry. When you want to go out, you go out. And for me, it's getting into a regimen. And I do very well with that. I was never the type to be lazy, laying around, whether I was, with a guy or by myself. I'm just always cooking or cleaning or going to the doctors or, going to the gym, working on my back and, going to visit family. I'm always doing something. I'm a Gemini, so I got 100 things going on in my mind at once. And, I just always got to keep busy, and that's the best thing for me. And then if I ever had some time to myself, listen to music. I talk to my friends every day. My phone blows up all the time, but I'm very blessed and thankful that I have so many people that care about me and check in on me. So, you have to have a good unit behind you. I'd say stick to a good regimen, whatever works for you. Hey, if going to the spa once a week with your mom is your peace, do it. Do it. If, working out hard all week and then you want to go have a McDonald's cheeseburger on a Sunday to celebrate, go do it. Do whatever makes you happy, because you're not under somebody's thumb anymore. You can do what you want when you want, because you're a good person. You have good intentions in life, and you need to rebuild and make yourself happy again. And that's another big thing too. You have to find yourself again, because for years, I was taught as a little girl on, which I don't think is bad. It's like, hey, get married and have a husband and have a good job, which that's all I ever wanted. And I was married and divorced and was supposed to get married to my ex. It didn't work out, thank God. Yeah, no, that would have been even harder. But, I had dreams and aspirations, what I wanted. And I will admit, part of me is a little lost still, because I do miss being that wife, that fiance that took care of the house and, ran his business and did this and did that. But now I'm running my own life. I have my own apartment. I run my own business. I run my own life. I cook myself beautiful meals. I have my family over once a week, my friends. I do what makes me happy now. And I'll always be that kind of person that will extend the olive branch and, whoever I date next, hey, I'll make you dinner, do this and that. But it really is a newfound thing to put yourself first, because I never have all these years. So it's still kind of like awkward at times, but I'm used to like doing my own thing and beating to my own drum. So it's just being comfortable in your authentic self, and you will get there, but it does come with speed bumps. And sometimes you're going to hit the wall crashing sometimes. When I was telling you earlier, when you leave a narcissist, you are trauma bonded. And yes, you can be deeply in love with them, like I was, and have that underlying love. But when you have that trauma bond, I was told it's along the realms of a heroin addict being weaned off the drug. And, I don't drink, I don't do drugs, so I could not compare. But let me tell you what I went through. I feel for people who have addictions because it was not fun. And I would say 80% of me confided in, my therapist, my family, my friends, and everything. A lot of it I kept to myself too, but it's not fun. It really isn't because I'm a mentally stable person. I mean, yes, I have my anxiety issues because of my toxic choices in men, which we don't do anymore. Unfortunately, it follows you a little bit in life, but I mean, let me tell you, there'd be days where I'd be crying for 4 hours straight. There'd be days I was happy. Then some days I didn't want to go out, or I'd go out for a little bit and I'd be like, I want to go home. And your emotions are all over the place, but I want people to know who are in those situations, that's normal. That doesn't mean there's something wrong with you. That doesn't mean you're technically depressed. It's just you went through a big life change. You just went through a traumatic experience. And whether you're with a narcissist for a year or 10 years, they do a lot of psychological damage, a lot. They
Do.
really do. It's bad. And listen, I've left for a year now. I've done a lot of healing, a lot of therapy. Do the podcast. I talk to people. I'm very active on social media. I'm really in a really good place mentally with my healing. Is there always room for improvement? Of course. I'm always going to be me. I'm always going to be happy, jolly Jody, cracking jokes. But then there's the sensitive part to me that I'm like my grandma Polly. I could cry at a drop of a hat and then be happy again. That's the other Gemini side of me. You don't
Right.
want to change your personality for anybody, but I'm a realist. I tell everybody who writes to me who are in similar situations, it's going to be the hardest thing you ever go through. You're going to go through the motions, but you got to set your mind to be comfortable in an uncomfortable situation. You will get through it. Every day is not going to be gravy, but the good days are going to be worth the bad days. To me, it's still worthwhile living your life for you than living a life of abuse and for somebody else who does not value you or treat you with respect and basically looks down on you for any way, shape, or form. And you just have to take the bulls by the horns and just go for it and just say, you know what, I'm gonna make a better life for myself. Maybe sometimes you don't know how and you're going in head first, but you gotta just do it and you make it work.
Oh, 100%. Now, for how was your, I'm going to ask this question. How has your experience shaped your view on self-love and boundaries? And how do you hope for readers and listeners? Because we have a lot of people, because we tend to take a lot of these podcasts that we do and we turn them into articles when we think they're really valuable and they're going to help people. We put them on Thrive Global, we put them on the Medium, we put them in our newsletter on Substack, because things, especially narcissism, have a huge impact. There's so many people being abused and they just don't talk about it. So, one important thing is self-love. So how has your experience shaped your view on self-love? And boundaries are necessary. And so many people don't have boundaries. And sometimes later in life, they realize the importance of placing boundaries in their life. How do you hope that the listeners today and the readers that are going to read this, take these lessons into their own lives?
I mean, I would say everybody's different. I mean, with the self-love, I mean, the first thing to do is leave. You have to make that decision to choose you. You have to love yourself more than that person, which, trust me, that was the hardest decision I had to make in my life because I would have chose him over and over again in this life and the next. But the disrespect was so loud. It left me speechless. So I said, okay, enough is enough. And I went against my own self-constructed rules of going back a second time because I personally don't believe in breaking up and getting back together. But I loved him that much that I wanted to give him the benefit of the doubt. And it just slammed me with the facts again of a affair and him trying to gaslight me and telling me that it wasn't real. So I guess everybody's a little different what their breaking point is, but when you have your breaking point, you have to choose yourself and say, I'm doing this for me. I'm going to choose to love me more. And you just do things that make you happy, whether that's going to a spiritual retreat, going to a therapist, going out for dinner with girlfriends, having a good talk, watching a Lifetime movie, whatever makes you happy and gives you peace, you have to start doing that for yourself. That's the most important thing. Again, No contact. Don't worry about what they're doing. Listen, I don't know what he does. I don't care. I mean, listen, I already know what he does because I know him better than anybody. You know, those residual effects will always be there. But
Right.
just completely cut them off from your life and don't worry about what they say. You know, they're going to do their smear campaign. They're going to say this, that. Just balance, take all that noise out. Focus on yourself, your friends, your unit, the people who are sticking by you and helping you get through it. And some
Right.
people don't have anybody, and that's who I feel bad for. And I always tell like the readers and people who reach out to me, if you don't have anybody, what about a coworker? What about your neighbor? What about your sister's best friend? You know, even if you're not that super close, there's always going to be somebody to listen and give some advice. Even if you think like, oh, you know, they have four kids, they don't have time for it. Trust me, there are so many people out there that you could resonate with, and then they could say, oh, listen, my husband's a narcissist too. Like, I didn't know you're in that situation too. You would be amazed the amount of people, like we were saying earlier, some people realize they're in a toxic relationship, they're too scared to leave, or they don't have the finances, or they're just too compliant, or they've been with them 30 plus years. And I feel bad for them. I really do. And I know every situation's different, but for me is if there's even a sliver of hope, 1% chance you can get out, make it work, do it and go. It'll be the best thing you ever did. And there is light at the end of the tunnel, but remember, you got to go through the darkness to get to the light.
Oh, 100%.
Yes.
Now, for someone who might still be trapped in a narcissistic or emotionally abusive relationship, what advice would you give them?
I would say the first thing is recognizing that they're not going to change. That was the first thing I had to do. I was like, okay, this person claims to love me, but does everything in their power to show that they don't. So once you realize you, and you kind of got to be harsh with yourself, that's how I had to be with me because I'm so empathetic and a people pleaser and just want to always see the best in people. I mean, don't we all? But when you have somebody that evil and manipulative, you have to call, take a spade, and just say, okay, well, look what they're doing to me. And once you realize and say, okay, this person does not love me, does not respect me, does not have boundaries, now I have to put myself first. And then you have to start with the self-love. Okay, even though I still love him and I want to be with him, I know this isn't going to work because he's not going to change. You can't keep making excuses for somebody who does not see any fault in their behaviors. So, you know, right there, you have to get that notion out of your head that there's hope. There's not going to be hope. Yes, there are some self-aware narcissists out there that do conform to society and go to therapy, and they do have wives and kids. There are a very small percentage. So there can be, but for the most part, it's not going to happen. Okay. It's like winning a $1 million lottery. It's just not in the cards for most people. So just, you know, call a spade, look at the situation for what it is, recognize it, and just say, what can I do to make my situation better? And once you change that mentality, that's what I did. I said, okay, I'm going to start loving me more first now, and I'm going to put myself first and get my mental health in order to not want him and not want to be with him and emotionally detach from him, which I was already doing. And you know, you just it takes work. You have to chip away at it a little bit. And everybody's different with their healing times and how they get over things. You just kind of have to figure out what works for you. But definitely recognizing that they're not going to change and recognizing that you have to leave, that's the biggest like aha moment for you to catapult into the next phase of your life.
Oh, definitely. That's a great answer. Now, are there any tools or practices or resources that you'd recommend to help others re rebuild their lives after they've been abused?
You know, a lot of self-help books I think are great. I love going on TikTok. I mean, if you just type in narc talk, oh my gosh.
Really?
People, yes, it's unreal. I mean, that's actually where I get my biggest following when I first promoted the book because it's self-published now, but you know, I'm going to literary agents and publishing companies to get on a bigger platform. But the one post, it was like 47,000 viewers in one night. Everybody with the narc talk, and it was like these people of all different age groups and different countries, and they're like, you know, my narcissistic husband did this and I caught him cheating. And then there would be other videos, like somebody would be breaking down crying, like, I had a really bad day today, guys. Like, how did you get through it? I mean, social media, for the most part, when you really need help with the subject, if you research it, there is a big community out there. There really is. And they'll support you. And, they'll be like, hey, I had a breakdown today. What can I do to make myself feel better? And somebody would write back and say, hey, girl, I had a breakdown today too. You know what? I got McDonald's ice cream with my best friend tonight, and I just felt so much better. We made fun of him because he's a fool. Whatever it was. But it's just nice to see, instead of people bullying each other on the internet, that people are complete strangers and they're writing to you saying, hey, it's okay. And
Right.
I would write on my post, if anybody wants to direct message me, I'm always here. And I can't tell you how many women wrote to me, and a couple of them did leave their narcissistic partners because of the book. They read it and they're like, thank you so much. They're like, I never thought a girl like you would go through something like this. And I'm like, yeah, I said, thank you. I said, I appreciate that. So, I mean, a couple of people I've helped, which I'm, very proud of, because that's the whole point of the book. Yes, it's to tell my story because it's a crazy one, but more importantly, it's to help other people in similar situations. And that's the whole premise of the book, because I don't want anybody ever being in that deep, dark place that I was in temporarily for a little bit. Not even 1%. Nobody, no person on this earth should put another person in that mental state. It's
Right.
just not right. It's just evil. It's malignant.
Oh, I agree. Now, your book tackles the theme of resilience and optimism. What do you hope that the readers will take away with your story?
Yeah, I just want them to see that, things like this unfortunately happen in life. And more importantly, you have to find a strength within that you probably didn't think you ever had, whether
Yeah.
it's your friends or therapists help bring it out, or you do it yourself, or your brother or sister. No matter however you do it, that it is in you. No matter how weak you feel, no matter how much you cry, how
Yeah.
heartbreaking you are, trust me, you have it in you to leave and to make a better life for yourself. And then what I did at the end of the book, not to give away too much, which I think sticks out a little bit, I put a whole thing of pictures of everybody who stuck by me through thick and thin, my family, my friends, my therapist. So like, I wanted to tell my story and strongly how I left him and now I'm thriving. Yes, of course I have my days, but I am thriving. And then, I showed all the pictures of everybody who stuck by me. And then at the very end, which I think is the best part, there's always going to be people who are going to doubt you. She's making up this story. Ah, oh, she just wanted to write a book and make money. No, I didn't. It's not about money. It's about telling my story and helping other people get out. And at the
Yeah.
end of the book, I have, let's just say, select text messages between him and the mistress that obviously show that he was having an affair. So I
Right.
put the proof at the end of the book, because a lot of people, especially the ones who don't know me, were like, whoa, like that was ballsy of you. Like, you put that. I'm like, well, yeah. I said, you have to put the proof in there. Not that I have to prove anything to anybody, but I think that's like pow at the end of the book, because
Exactly.
nobody expects that. You're just reading a book and it's like, oh, okay, she goes on with her life and she's happy ever after. Yeah, I
Yeah.
am. But guess what? Here's the proof. And they're talking about a lot of illicit things and not very nice stuff, and
Yeah.
making fun of me in there, and everything else in between. So I wanted to show the reader, like, this is gaslighting. This is how they talk and speak of you behind your back. This is
Right.
what cheating looks like. I wanted to get all the forms of narcissism in there. And I'm like, well, what better way to put the actual proof in there?
Yeah.
So I did. And a lot of people are like, oh my God. I'm like, listen, those weren't even all the text messages. I took the best of the best, the cream of the crop. But a
Yeah.
lot of people were like, that really made all the difference in the book. That was like pow at the end. I'm like, well, thank you. Because I wanted to be different. I'm telling my story. And then I also did, which is on my website, and I do modeling and acting on the side too. When I first wrote the book and I knew it was coming out, I got together a couple of my actor friends, and I actually made a 2-minute trailer to the book, like a little Lifetime
Awesome.
movie thing, which was cool. And that gained a lot of traction, because the way I do things is, I wanted to be quiet about it. Only maybe 4 people knew I was writing the book. and my best friend knew everything going on. And I said, I'm going to slam everybody with a whopper of a trailer. I didn't say anything. I just put it on social media. And I said, Jekyll can't hide coming this holiday season. And everybody's like, oh, did you get an acting role? Technically. And then once they watched it, they're like, you wrote a book? I said, yes, I did. And they're like, this is for real? Yes, it is. They're like, this is what happens in the book. I mean, I put a, 2 minutes, whatever I could fit in, but it
Wow.
grabs you, it pulls you in, and it's like, oh my God. And I can't tell you how many people watched that little trailer that I did, and they were like, I got to buy the book. I got to buy the book, and I can't. So, you try to be different and stick out, and I'm proud of it. I had a great time filming it. I filmed it right in Jersey, and it was great. It was a fun experience. And that's just part of my project, part of the book. And I just wanted, I knew growing up I was different, but in a good way. And I said, you know what? I'm an intelligent woman. I made some mistakes with picking toxic men, but now we recognize the patterns. We broke free. And the generational curse of, just picking the wrong person, and you get the therapy and you get the help. And, like you said, you have a good unit of people behind you, and you stay in the straight and narrow, and you do what makes you happy. And then, more importantly, as you catapult forward in your life, whoever comes into your life, if your intuition is screaming, I'm just not feeling right about this person, or I'm not comfortable with them, or I'm not really keen on what they're saying. Listen to your intuition. It's always right. And for women in my situation, I get it. I know that right now I kind of have like a wall up with men. I mean, that's to be expected. But I do let people in, but I'm only going to let people in that my intuition will allow me. If my intuition scream and leave it up, it's going to stay up. It never, it's your compass in life, and you have to let it lead its way. You don't go against it, because I've went against it. And as a result, this is what's happened. But I really think one of my purpose in life was to write this book, and I'm very proud of it. And I just want to help women. And I've been doing some speaking engagements, some podcasts, some other fun stuff coming down the way. And again, it's just all about empowering women. And this happens to men too. I mean, I don't want to just single them out, but it is predominantly with narcissism, 70% males. So it does happen to women more, obviously. But it resonates with a lot of people, unfortunately. But the whole point of the book is, don't think that you made a mistake in life by being with this person. For whatever reason, you were meant to be with them. You were meant to walk this walk. And some people in life have it easier than others, and some people don't. And it's just the cards we were dealt. But you have to learn how to play your hand correctly. Don't just fight. Just go for it and make the best out of your life. Make lemons out of lemonade. That's it.
100%. Now, are you working on any future books or projects that you're excited to talk about?
Not currently. I'm just pushing this book now, and I'm trying to get it on a bigger platform. But let's just say there could be a little a part two of stuff that's happened after the book has come out. So you never know. Stay tuned. So
I love it.
yes.
Now, where can people find this book?
Yes, it's on like 15 different platforms, but the most popular is Amazon.com. It's on Kindle, it's on ebook, hardcover, paperback. It's also on Audible too. You can also go on www.jodylynnpavlok.com. You could see my bio. You could see my book trailer. You could buy the book straight from there. It's also available on barnesandnobles.com online. I'm waiting for it to go in the stores as well. And yeah, I'm just working on a lot of great stuff with the book, and just here to help people. That's the most important thing.
I love it. And you also have a support group on one of your social networks.
Yes, on Facebook, I run Jody's Triumph, and it's a narcissistic abuse group support. So, I mean, anybody can join. You could just read about narcissism. It's a safe space. I run it with one of my other friends. She's a moderator too. And even on my social media, Jody Lynn Pavlok on Facebook, Jody Pavlok Instagram, TikTok is Jody P 1984. I'm always there on social media. I have a PR agent that helps me as well, but I'm always there for messaging if people want to talk personally. I'm always here for you because I have been in your shoes. I know the pain, I know the hurt, I know how hard it is, and trust me, if I could leave, you can too. I'm living proof, and I believe in all these people who are in these similar situations that they have the strength to do it.
I love it. I love it. Now, if you had to take today's conversation and you wanted to emphasize on a couple important factors, what would be some of the things you'd like the listeners to take away from this conversation?
Most importantly, I would say the first thing is don't blame yourself. I know they like to make you feel as if you're the problem, like, oh, you're the reason why I cheated. You're the reason why I scream at you every day. It's not your fault. It's
Yeah.
them. They have mental instability and you cannot fix them. No matter how much you want to, do not self-blame. The second thing is believe in yourself, because I know when you're in that kind of abusive relationship, they belittle, they make fun, they put down. I know, I lived it for almost 9 years with him, and it really, really drains you mentally, and it really brings your self-esteem down. Even though you don't think about yourself like that, when you know
Yeah.
your partner really thinks about you like that, it's very hurtful, and it brings your vibrational level down. So
Right.
don't let their words affect you. I know that's harder, said than done, but try not to. And the biggest thing is work on an escape plan. Accept the situation for what it is. Don't beat yourself up over it. It's not your fault. You didn't stay too long. You shouldn't have left sooner. When you have the light bulb clip in your head, and that's when you want to leave, then you set your mind to it. You can do it. It's going to be hard. I'm not going to say it's easy, but you can do it. Find a support system and you will get through it and you will be in a much better position. I promise you.
I love it. This
Yes.
has been amazing, Jody. You have
Thank
provided
you.
so much great information. There are so many people out there that are suffering with a narcissistic partner, a narcissistic parent, a narcissistic, person in their family or a friend. It's all around us, and more than people realize. It just hasn't been taught, like you said, it hasn't been talked about as much. It's coming out a lot more now. People are realizing that it's a disorder,
Yes.
and that it's an existing problem that and it really could put a lifelong damper on somebody's self-esteem. It could really screw up a person's life when you're with a narcissistic individual. And
It
it's
does.
important. It's really important for have people like you to share the message, to educate individuals, and to give people, options and explain to them what their options are and how they can move forward in their lives. Because a lot of times people are either afraid to move out of the relationship
Yes.
or they fall back into the same type of relationship.
Yes.
And they just, or they don't think they're worthy of anything better. There's, a lot of people's self-esteem gets beaten down to the floor.
That is
And,
true.
and a lot of times when someone says something to you over and over again, you're worthless, you'll never get anyone better than me, and blah, 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 blah,
Yes.
start to believe it after someone says it over and over and over
You
again.
do, because you get stuck in that cycle. And one thing I will say, the longer you stay, the harder it is to leave. But if it does take you longer than expected to leave, don't beat yourself up over it. Everybody beats to their own drum. Everybody has their own set of special situations. Just recognize the pattern that it's not going to get better, that you deserve a better life, and it is there waiting for you. But you got to take that first step and open that door, because you don't know what life is without them until you make that change, leave. Close the door, shut it, never look again. You'll be the
I love it.
happiest you ever have.
And that's 100% true. Thank you so much, Jody, for coming on the
Yes.
show today.
Thank you.
And
I appreciate it.
I appreciate you. Well, you have a
Thank
great
you. Yes. Thank you so much for having me as a guest. I appreciate you.
Oh, I appreciate you. Have a
Thank
great
you.
day.
You too.